Hello, everyone. How are you? It's wonderful to be together again, preaching, sharing the Word of God. Yay! Fantastic. Hey, I just want to share a message with you today, and I've called this message, "What if Jesus visited your home? What would he discover about you and about your home and about your culture?" You see, every family has a culture. Every church has a culture. And I remember the first time I ever visited Viviana's home. How long ago? We've been married 34 years, so that was about 36 years ago. She was living with her mum and her dad, and I remember coming up the stairs to her apartment for the very first time, and her mum and dad were there and inside, and I'm sure that the stairs didn't make a noise, but it felt like every step was like, my heartbeat was going up, and I was going to meet her mum and dad, and I'd met Viv at Bible college, so I met her outside her house. This is the first time, and walking up and quivering of the lip, and you know what it's like, and then tiny knock, no answer, a bit harder, and then opened the door, and there was lovely Viviana. Oh, it was going to be great. We're going to take her on a I think to dinner or something nice, and meeting her mom and thinking, oh, what a lovely woman. She's so sweet and so nice. And what's that smell? And I discovered later, I think it was a Milanesa, the delicious Italian food. And her dad's a great guy. And hey, Rod. And they're from Argentina. So he calls me Jules. It was a whole experience. And then they brought this amazing food, but I'd never had it before in my life. Little green balls, and I found later they were called olives. In my upbringing, we never had that before. We just had sort of meat and three vegetables, no sauce. That was sort of our food, and I was entering the world of Argentina and the world of Italian food, and it was so good. Well, that was the first time ever in her house, and of course, we dated for 2 years, so many times I visited her with her mum and dad, and had delicious food. But every house has a culture. If you came to our house, there's a way that we do things. You'd come in, and Viviana would have cleaned the house completely, because she's like that, and a lot more than me, and a lot more than Monty, and a lot more than Richie, and she's the clean machine in our family, and the queen of clean, we call her. And but the table's going to be set, and we're going to sit down, and before COVID, always held hands and prayed, and now it's a little bit more. Have you washed your hands? Have you washed your hands? But we love to pray. So what I want to talk today about is the first time that Jesus ever visited a home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And these three are going to appear later in the Bible again, in the Gospel of John. And Lazarus later on is actually going to die of a disease of some sort. And Jesus is going to raise him from the dead. This family is going to play a big part in the story of Jesus. But our story today is probably the first time Jesus was in their home. And what we're going to discover is that there's some things about our home that are very, very important. And I believe every family is valuable. Whatever culture you set, we need to have good values and habits and patterns for us and for our children. And parents, just let me say to you, after being a pastor for 35 years, you play the most important role in your kids coming up to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not the teachers, it's not the church, it's actually the home life that is so important. So I've called this message, "What if Jesus visited your house suddenly?" And we're going to read, here we go, we're going to read from Luke chapter 10, verse 38, the first time I believe Jesus ever came to this family. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. It's just a very simple story about someone opening their home. Hey, come on, let's open our homes to Jesus. Come on. Let's be like Martha. In the story, Martha does some unusual things, maybe, and we're going to see the interaction. But right up front, she opened her house to Jesus. And I really want to encourage you to open your house, or if you are sharing a house with some people or with your family, maybe open your room to Jesus. If you're sharing a room with some people, open your bed to Jesus. Whatever you can, why don't you open it to Jesus? This opening opened up Jesus into this family and later on into miracles happening in this family when she opened her family home to Jesus. She was obviously the leader of the family. It says it was her home. Mary was the younger sister. Lazarus was a younger brother. This family were in Martha's house. We don't know what happened to their mum and dad, but this was Martha's house. And Jesus came and she said, Jesus, would you come into my family? Would you come into my house? And whenever Jesus comes to a house, something miraculous is about to happen. When Jesus comes into the house of Levi, also called Matthew, all these sinners and tax collectors hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus comes into a house of a guy called Simon the leper, who obviously was a leper and Jesus healed him, there's a woman there who gets touched by Jesus. Wherever Jesus comes into a home, there's going to be touch, there's going to be freedom, there's going to be healing. Why don't we open our hearts to Jesus Christ right now? Why don't we say, Lord, have your way, and don't be afraid of Jesus coming into your heart. You might have some little room that's closed. Don't be afraid to open it to Jesus and say, Lord, you can have that room too, because his grace and his light are going to fill that room. There's going to be healing. There's going to be freedom. There's going to be future. There's going to be something amazing. Come on. Our Jesus brings freedom wherever he goes, and he's coming into this home, and she opens a home. Come on, let's open up our home. And maybe parents, open up your home to allow them to watch the kids program with Shiva and Amandi, Shiva Ban and Amandi, and the Edamame bounce going on in your family, and the I don't know what it is, but come on, open your house for Jesus. Dads, as a man to man, come on, let's be the leaders of our family, to lead our family to know Jesus. If you're a single mom, then you're the leader of your family and leading your family to know Jesus. Come on, moms, you play the most incredible part in raising up amazingly happy and well-adjusted children. So I'm saying this a lot, but come on, let's open our home to Jesus. And it says that she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. So all of a sudden, we're going to see some differences in the family. The first thing I want to say is that every family has different people. Obvious, clearly true. And in this story, we're going to see some differences in how the home is different. If you go to Martha's room, it's going to be perfect. The bed's going to be perfectly made. If you go to Mary's room, it's probably going to be a little bit more comfortable, let's say. And I remember when I married Viv, she's more the Martha, I'm more the Mary in terms of... Anyway, every home is different, and this is good. This is good. This is the way God wants us to be. Every home is different. You know what? Every church is different. That's why we've got to feel at home in the church where God has placed us. Now, no family and no home is perfect. That's unreasonable. We can't expect a family, if we visit, to be perfect, or a church to be perfect. And this world is not perfect. And God does not expect us to be perfect, right? In fact, homes are just going to be different. They're going to be different smells and different food and different styles. And it's all good. And I believe that the local church you belong to must be home. The church must be home. And even though we are not physically meeting right now, there's got to be a sense of homeliness or belonging or comfortableness around each other. Even when we do this videotaping and we make mistakes, we leave it in so you can see what we do, because we're family and we're not perfect. But you know what? Well, we're just different. So every home is different. Now, we're going to read here that every personality is different as well. It says that Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had to make. Maybe she's cleaning Mr. Potts. This is our plant called Mr. Potts. Maybe she had to clean Mr. Potts and fix up the lamp. And, you know, the personalities are different. You know what? Every personality is awesome. We've got two boys with totally different personalities. And as parents, we love them just the same. We love them exactly the same. You know, when God looks at you and you're different than someone else over here, this person over here might be this incredible sports person and you're not, and they're awesome and you're awesome, and someone over here is good at art, and someone over here is good at writing, and someone over here is good at maths, and someone here is good at, you know what I'm saying? We're all different. God the Father loves them all. Let's look at this scripture here. Romans 12:6. We have different gifts according to grace. Different gifts according to grace given to us. You know, gifts and grace in the original language are linked. The two words are almost the same in the original Greek language. Bible was written in New Testament in Greek. The word grace is charis. The word gift is charisma. And the little ma at the end of the word just means something made of. So gifts is something made of grace. Isn't that amazing? When God pours his charis on us in our mother's womb, and the DNA matches perfectly the billions of possibilities, or not, I don't know, billions, but a lot, and they mix and they become you, and they become me by the will of God, by the grace of God. I love that. I love the concept that we are who we are by the grace of God. What the color of our skin, the place we came from, wherever it is, it's by the grace of God. We need to embrace who God made us to be and give him thanks so that we can be a success with the grace and the gifts given to us. So in that story, there's nothing wrong with Martha making a lot of preparations. That's not the point of the story. In fact, I'm so glad that Viv is such a queen of clean. It makes our lives a lot easier. I'm not saying we don't do anything, all right? Just get this right here. I put the garbage out, and I do the dishes, and I do a lot of stuff, right? And but you know what? We're all precious, and we're all wonderful. Grace and gifts mix. And so in the story that you're about to read here, Martha was distracted with all the preparations. Why was she preparing? Because she wanted to bless Jesus. She did. She opened her house. She allowed him to come in. But here's the problem, is there was a moment she should have sat at his feet as well. You see, there was a moment, it was a time where this wonderful Jesus was coming, but she was so distracted. The Bible says distracted. What's distracted? It's like head faced in various things at the same time. She was distracted instead of being single focused. And I think if she had done some preparations before, it probably was good enough. I think someone who's a good preparer probably had done it already, or had some other friends to help. In other words, she could have sat at the feet of Jesus. It's not an unreasonable thought that she could have just said, okay, I'm just going to leave that now, because it's the moment to hear the Master Jesus Christ. And so we see different personalities in this story, and Jesus is going to love these sisters and love the other brother, or the brother Lazarus. And so what I want to say is that if Jesus came to your home, he would see different homes, and he would see different personalities, and he would love you. He does love you. He loves you because he created you. He designed you. The Bible actually says he saw you before the foundation of the world. His plan is rich. His plan is deep. And he wants you to be you, but to be the best you that you can be. And so we're going to read the story. Mary's at the feet listening, and Martha's distracted by all the preparations, and she came to Jesus. Listen to what she does. She goes overboard. She's the boss of her family or her home, but she says to Jesus, "Don't you care?" That's the first words we read come out of her mouth. Jesus is there, and everyone's happy and listening to the word, and Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and the goodness of God, and she comes into the room and, "Don't you care?" That's her first recorded words to Jesus, and we got it in the Bible. And you think, well, I think Mary probably later said, "Jesus, do you make sure that doesn't get in the Bible, all right?" But she wasn't the one writing this story. It was Luke who had researched this story, and he would have said, what was Martha's first words? And they said her first words were, "Jesus, don't you care?" And we make some mistakes. God, where are you? Why is this happening? Come on. Come on. We all say that sort of thing. And you know, in this story, Jesus doesn't rebuke her. He just wants to teach her. He doesn't rebuke her. He wants to lift her. He doesn't rebuke her. He wants her to be truly the leader of her family in an amazing way and building in habits and thoughts. So we need to see that Jesus' response to her is not anger or upset. It's genuine interaction. Genuinely, Jesus wants to interact with her personality, with her style. And so, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And she orders the Lord Jesus Christ what to do in her home. It's quite humorous. And I think when Luke's writing this down, he said, yeah. And then what did she say? Yeah. And so Luke, who's telling us the story, loves this story. I love this story. I think it's an amazing story. Jesus, don't you care? Tell her. And so there's the interaction of Mary at the feet of Jesus, just going, wow, his teaching is amazing. And Martha. And so what we see is different personalities. Now listen to what Jesus does say, because the Lord has a small sentence here we need to listen to very carefully. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. And when the Lord answers, speaks to your name twice, it means he loves you double, okay? Peter, Peter, Simon, Simon. When the Lord uses your name twice, he loves you double right there. He's not rebuking you, he loves you double. Moses, Moses, in Exodus 3, God loves you double right there, right at that moment. Martha, Martha. And you see the heart that Jesus has for this leader of the family, the heart he has for this group of people. He says, you are worried and upset about many things. Few things are needed right now, as we say right now, only a few things are needed. Indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen right now what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I love this because I believe he's speaking to our families right now, saying you don't have to do a lot of things, but there are some things you must do. We can't do everything, but there are some things we must do. And I want to say to you families out there today, you know, household leaders, family share units or single people sharing units, apartments together. Hey, you can't do everything, but there's some things we must do. And the point of this message is to bring out the emotion of this family. And then I want to ask the question, what would Jesus find at your house? What would he find? Well, I'll tell you what he'll find. He'll find a home that's very different, and that's okay. He would find a home that things are put differently and done differently. I think if he visited our church, there's different ways we do things. The way the Lifehouse does things is not the way everyone does it. And that's okay. That's called the local church around the world, and we love it, and God loves it, and he's put his hand upon it, and it's going to look different in very, very well. That's okay. And then he's going to come to your home, and he's going to discover different personalities, and that's okay. As long as we don't use our personality to either be aggressive or judgmental, like Mary was a little bit in this story, or maybe Mary should have done a bit more. I don't know. But if Jesus came to your family, he would find your personality and he would say, be the best you can be. You see, the grace and gifts given to me, Rod Plummer, are not perfect. I'm not perfect. Obviously, I'm not. Just ask my wife, ask my boys, ask my team. It's not about perfection. It's about the heart wanting to learn and grow. And at the time Jesus comes, he's not going to say, do everything, Rod. He's going to say, there's a few things. There's just a few things I want you to do in my visit. And I think Jesus just wants our attention. Number one, I believe, church, he wants our attention right now. How does he get our attention? Well, we do a few things. We build some habits. Like I said, around our table, we just pray for the food. And around our table, when the boys were growing up, we always asked, what is God doing good right now? When we build a culture, there's a few things. When people ask us, what did we do with our boys? You know, our boys aren't perfect, and we've never expected anyone to treat them that way. They're just kids. But they've grown up to love the Lord. And that is one of the greatest blessings of Viv in my life, is that our boys love Jesus and our team loves Jesus and you love Jesus. And so we've done a few things right. What are the few things we did right? Well, we loved God's word. We journaled and we allowed God to touch our hearts. Just a simple word. And, you know, there's been times in my life where I've maybe got a bit upset and and journaling, the Holy Spirit said, you just have to go back. And I remember a few times I've said to Monty, Monty, I'm sorry we had that argument. And we're a little bit similar at times. And Monty would just look at me and say, that's okay, Dad. That's okay, Dad. And, Richie, oh, sorry, didn't notice that, Richie. He said, that's okay, Dad. That's okay, Dad, because we're family. And I think that the habits we build in daily is what Jesus would speak to us about in our families. If Jesus visited your family today or you today, would he find little habits that build great lives? Would he find, he's not worried about the personality difference, but he's saying, are you doing the best with what you got? If you got a Martha personality that's got to organize everything, would he say, hey, that's all good, but don't judge others who are different? Don't make value judgments on people who are different. Let's try and work it out. And if we're a Mary personality, maybe Jesus would say, well, it's actually time right now to help Martha a little bit and organize things a bit. So personalities is something Jesus will speak about, but he'll speak with love and he'll say, Rod, or whatever your name is, double, because he loves you double right now when he brings correction. I think some of the habits we need to build in is making sure that our kids are watching our online programs, that we're praying the Lord's Prayer and teaching our family, and we're forgiving. And these are not big things. It's certainly not legalism, friends. It's just basic habits that build great lives in Jesus. Come on. Basic habits that build great lives. Basic things that Jesus comes in and says, well, you got a few things right, Rod and Viv. You didn't get everything right, but you got a lot of things right. You got the main things right. You got the few things that matter right. That's what life is all about. And I just want to really encourage you that we need to make right decisions for our family. And Sunday's coming up. I know all of you don't watch at the same time. There's viewers that watch at the time, and there's delayed viewers, and there's, hey, it's all happening. We get it. We understand. And that's all good. But why don't you make that commitment to be committed to his word and a local church and a local leadership that are praying for you? And come on, this is what we do right now. We can't meet physically, but we are meeting right now and we are praying for you. So I just want to finish today by saying this, that there's a famous scripture in the Old Testament, and God is choosing a young man, David, King David, comes to his brothers, and it says God hasn't chosen them. We don't know why. There was some reason why they were not chosen. I don't understand that. But here's the key scripture. It says, the Lord does not look at the things that people look at. This is really important in the world of Instagram and Facebook right now. God doesn't look at those celebrity things. He is not interested in celebrity. He is not interested in how good I look. He is not interested. The Bible says this, people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. If Jesus came to your home, he's not going to be worried about your clothes or your food. I don't think he's even going to be that worried about a lot of things, but he's going to be concerned about your heart. Your heart is the small matter that God loves and God wants to touch. So as I pray right now, I pray that you put your heart in. Be like a Martha that opens the home to Jesus, because Jesus is in your house right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here and you love us and you're calling our name, calling it twice. And yeah, you might have some things to say, but it's all to bring us a better life, a future life. And I'm praying right now for everyone to sense your presence and your love for our homes and our families, for us, for our hearts. Lord, we're not going to worry about what people think on the outside. We know that you think about our heart, and I pray our heart will be hot for you and inspired by your word, forgiving and releasing people, loving people, because, Lord, you are in our home right now, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise him. And maybe wherever you're watching from, it could be a home somewhere in Japan or around. I don't know where you're from. Jesus is there right now. The Bible says, if you would just open your heart, he will come in and forgive you. His grace will forgive you, will release you, will start a process of healing and blessing and a great future. Would you like to know Jesus? He died on the cross 2,000 years ago and rose again after 3 days. Would you like to know him? I want to pray for you right now. So I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to say, would you believe? And I'm going to ask you to say yes to Jesus, all right? Or if you've been away, you can come back now, right now. So I'm going to count to three. You ready? Here we go. One, God loves you. Two, would you open your house, your heart to him right now? And three, would you say right now, I believe in Jesus Christ? Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for this moment where people are opening their hearts and lives to you. I pray for forgiveness, blessing, grace, future, all your goodness to pour upon these amazing people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just want to encourage you, church. It's time to join our connect groups again for this season. And we've got Alpha starting again. Invite some people onto that. And we've got community connects, and we've got a whole bunch of stuff. Hey, God is in your house. Bye-bye.